As you join me, I'm sitting at my kitchen table with a laptop on the table. It's not on my lap. My lap doesn't exist at the moment because I've got my legs crossed. So you only have a lap when you're sitting in a certain position. And I'm not sitting in that position at the moment. So I have no lap whatsoever at the moment. Well, I suppose I have half a lap. But I'm resting my left leg on my right half lap. So my lap, basically what I'm trying to say is my lap is not available at the moment for placing a laptop on it. And anyway, as far as I understand it from reading the technical articles on the internet, putting a laptop on your lap actually is a fire hazard. It can cause you to go on fire. I don't want my laptop to set me on fire. It can overheat because you're blocking the ventilators. I think a computer needs to be well ventilated. It makes perfect sense. If you're studying or doing anything academic, you need to have the window open to let some air in and have some ventilation. I think how much more processing is involved in a computer processor than in your brain at any one time. Your computer needs 8 windows open at least, and it needs ventilators all over it. There should be ventilators on every single side of the laptop, including the screen. There should be holes in the screen to let in air. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking if there's holes in the screen, then there's going to be holes in the text and images that you're trying to look at. Now, that's not going to work. Well, with modern technology, it doesn't matter. With a hole, you just put a hologram of a complete screen over the holes in the screen, and then you can pretend there's a full screen, so you won't know there's a hole. In fact, maybe that's what they already do, because I can see the full screen here in front of me. I've got my email open, and I can see the whole page. There's no holes in it. So maybe that means they actually have got a screen behind this with holes in it, but they've shone a hologram of a complete screen over it to obliterate the holes so that they don't disrupt my use of the internet. All of which leads me to wonder why I can't just have a holographic computer in the first place. Computers are complex enough to be able to create holograms now. Why don't they not bother selling me a computer and just sell me a hologram of a computer that I can carry around in my pocket and unfold whenever I need it? Supposedly computers are powerful enough nowadays to do that, but they don't do it. I can't imagine why. Maybe the excuse is that if you're carrying around a hologram of a computer, you need to carry around an ordinary computer to make the hologram, to produce the hologram. But that can be done in the factory, surely. You just produce the hologram in the factory and then put the hologram in some sort of a glass case with light in it to keep it alive, because you need light to keep a hologram alive. So basically all you need in your pocket is a light. I suppose they could keep the computer itself, the real solid computer, stored on a server somewhere and wirelessly beam you the holographic image wherever you are. If mobile technology is up to that, I don't know. Anyway, there's answers to all these things, and I'm waiting for them to be answered. It's 2008 now. When I was growing up in the early 80s and borrowing books from Thomastown Library, I used to read all these books saying that by the year 2000, we'll all be in flying cars and have holographic computers, and we'll be drinking coffee out of a stolen Starbucks mug, except it's not stolen. The Costa one is stolen. This one is one that I bought on my first ever trip to an Irish Starbucks. I paid about 20 quid for it. And then I decided I didn't like the Irish Starbucks stores. But I kept the mug anyway, because I paid for it. If anyone wants to buy it, feel free to email me and make me an offer of £800, and I'll give it to you. I'll make that £810, because if you're going to give me pounds, I'm going to have to pay the cost of converting that to euros so I can spend it. So there you go. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what will he spend it on? Well, that's none of your fucking business. You're like the people who go on eBay and sell something, and someone from the government buys it, and you'll say, I want to know what you're going to spend that money on. Oh, no, that doesn't work, because what I should have said is you sell it to someone, not they buy it, because the money goes the other way then. I'm getting this anecdote completely backwards. I fucked it up completely. What I was trying to say basically was that if you buy something off someone and give them money for it, you don't have a right to go ask them how they're going to spend that money. It's none of your frigging business. It's the same with the tax system. People think when they hand over taxes in return for stuff, they want to know what the government is going to spend it on. It's none of your business. It's the government's money now. You've bought stuff off them with that. You've bought roads and things, and it's their money now. They can do whatever they like with it. They give you money. They don't ask you what you do with it. They don't go asking, how much did you spend on petrol this week? And give me 28% of that. I'll take it off you at the pumps. So I'll get the guy who sells the petrol to take the money out of it. We'll call it value-added tax, and we'll shorten it to VAT. You can even say VAT if you like, because it'll remind you of a vat of whiskey, because a vat of whiskey has an enormous amount of VAT on it. I don't know how much, actually, let's look up how much VAT, a vat of whiskey, how much VAT is on a vat of whiskey. A vat of whiskey, VAT, search. Vat 69 whiskey. Oh, there's a whiskey called Vat 69. That's not relevant. Well, it is relevant in that it's a whiskey. My query was about whiskey, but it doesn't really answer the question. Let's see. Let me find my search. I'll say vat on whiskey. And I'll search for pages from Ireland. That's about, well, a 62 euro bottle of whiskey, you add on 13 euros of VAT for that. So let's say that's about 864%. So there's 864% VAT on whiskey. So that answers our question. It's good to know, it's good to add knowledge. I try to learn something new every day, and that's what I've learned today. I've learned how much VAT there is on a 62 euro bottle of whiskey. So there you go. I could probably learn that by buying the whiskey and looking at the receipt, but that would be an expensive exercise. If I'm going to want to learn something every day, I can't be going buying everything, unless I limit my knowledge intake to small and cheap items, such as, for example, feathers, which I can find out in the street. In fact, my cats come in with feathers sometimes. Chili, did you bring a feather with you this time? No, he doesn't seem to have. He only came in to eat the whiskers, the cat food that I left out for him. Which he's eating now, which I suppose is fine. That's what I wanted him to do with it. I didn't want him to shove it up his arse. I wanted him to eat it. So he's doing exactly what I wanted him to do with the whiskers. So really, I have no reason to complain. He's been a good cat. There's a good cat, Chili. You continue to eat the whiskers. Whiskers brand cat food, which consists of either chicken or lamb that's being dried out. All of the water is being removed from it. And you're best meant to put water separately in a bowl for the cat to drink, because cats like their water and their food to be separate. They don't want water in their food. That's why you don't feed fruit to cats. You wouldn't go and get a peach and give it to a cat. If you did, you'd have to remove the stone first anyway, because they don't want them swallowing that or playing with it. They'd probably spend the rest of the day playing with the stone and not eat the peach at all. And then you'd say, have you eaten any fruit today? And they'd say, no. And you'd say, why not? And they'd say, because I'm a cat, I don't eat fruit. And then you'd say, but how come you're able to speak if you're a cat? And you'd say, because I'm not really a cat, I'm just you recounting this imaginary story on your podcast. And you're giving voice to me as a cat. I'm not really saying this at all. It's not even my thoughts. These aren't my opinions that you're expressing. You've projected these opinions onto me. It's a typical pet owner. You see a dog walking down the street, and you see it has a sad face on it, and you assume it's sad just because of the shape of its mouth. You can't attach the same personalities and expressions and emotions onto an animal as you can onto a human being automatically. You have to study them further than that. I mean, my cat at the moment looks like he's happy because he's eating. That's too much of an assumption to put on it. He's not necessarily happy. I have no way of knowing whether he's happy or not. Unless I bend down and listen quietly for a moment to hear whether he's purring. But I'm not going to do that. Because I'd have to have a moment's silence. Unless he is purring. So there's a 50% chance that it would be a minute's silence on the podcast. And there's a 50% chance that there would be a minute of purring. and I don't want to take 50% chances with the content of my online radio show, just so I can see whether a cat is happy or here. We won't do that. We'll just continue to watch Chili eating. He's eating. There's nothing. That wasn't a sentence. I thought it was going to be a sentence, but it's not. The sentence was aborted in mid-sentence, so it turned out not to be a sentence at all. So apologies for that.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan. Some of you may know me as the voice that goes, "Sit, Ubu, sit," on your favorite family sitcoms. I'm here to tell you about the IntoYourHead.com guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
Everybody who's anybody is posted in the IntoYourHead.com guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
You should too. Because you haven't truly partaken in the show, unless you've mingled with the humble and ignorant listeners such as myself. Visit the guestbook.
And online voicemail system.
Now at IntoYourHead.com.
Tremendous, exciting moment. I'm playing Tetris. Now, I know what you're thinking straight away. You're thinking he's putting an awful lot of pressure on himself because he did an episode of Into Your Head some time ago that was called The Tetris Downer, and it turned out to feature a segment in which he played Tetris and he did this big long thing where he got on a high from nearly winning Tetris and then he suddenly lost the game and he pretended to be all depressed about it, so he called it the Tetris Downer. And you're thinking, he's putting an awful lot of pressure on himself by doing a sequel to the Tetris Downer that's going to have to live up to the original. Because that's what happens with sequels. You have to make it at least as good as the original or better to satisfy all the people who enjoyed the previous one. Well, I'm going to put paid to that to worry your viewers straight away by saying this isn't a sequel to the Tetris Downer episode. This is just an ordinary episode in which I happen to be playing Tetris while I'm recording. I shouldn't have even mentioned the fact that I'm playing Tetris because it's not of any relevance. I'm not planning on taking it any further than that. I wasn't planning on making a whole segment out of the fact that I'm playing Tetris. Well, to be perfectly honest, I was, but nothing has transpired that has amounted to entertainment or stimulation while I'm playing this game. If I had, I would have used it. I would have run with the ball and gone on and on about the fact that I'm playing Tetris right now. For example, if I had happened to notice that one of the set of blocks that were falling on my Tetris screen looked like a picture of a cat's head, I think I would have run with the ball with that. I would have made the whole probably 5 minutes out of that. I would have gone on about cat's heads and then gone on to say that cats are not the only animals whose heads we don't eat, but they're one of the few animals whose bodies we don't eat. For example, you wouldn't eat a cow's head normally, but you would eat the rest of a cow. You could eat its tail and its torso and pretty much everything except the skeleton. You even use its internal organs, but you don't normally eat a cow's head. Not knowingly. There's probably some sort of sausage that contains cow's head. But as far as I know, there's no sausage, no legally produced sausage in this part of the world anyway, that contains a cat's head or elements of a cat's head. Now, as we speak, some of you are probably running to the Into Your Head website. You're going to the Into Your Head Stalkers Forum or Into Your Head Online Voicemail System, and you're transmitting a message to me saying that you're aware of a food that contains a cat's head because you have a bag of it in your kitchen. You've got a bag that's got a picture of a cat's head on it, and it's called Whiskers or something. Well, you're wrong. That's not. That doesn't contain a cat's head at all. It's got a picture of a cat's head on it because it's a food that's being designed for cats. It's marketed at cat owners. Which, I don't know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, if it was marketed at cat owners, it would have a picture of a cat owner on it, not a cat. But no, that's a strange thing about the pet food industry. If you see an ad for cat food on the television, it really, very rarely contains a cat's owner, even though it's being marketed as a cat's owner. They're the people who are going to buy it, but no, they just put in cats. as if they think a cat is some sort of disposable income and is going to be watching it and say, oh, that looks nice, that looks like a very nutritious upmarket cat food, I'm going to go and buy that as soon as my raise comes through and as soon as I can find something to use as a pocket, because I'm a cat, I don't wear clothes and I don't have pockets. And I can't very well carry a handbag because I'm a tomcat and I don't want to look stupid. So as soon as I develop some sort of pockets, maybe I should go for a kangaroo style thing where I have a pocket built into my fur, and then I'll be able to carry my disposable income with me everywhere and succumb to these marketing things. Actually, maybe it's a good thing that I don't, because I seem to be very easily influenced by food advertising, as I am being now. I'm watching this ad for cat food and I'm wanting it. I'm wishing I wasn't a cat so I could just go and buy it in the supermarket. But no. Such is a cat's life. That's the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it, unfortunately. You join me. It's a tremendously exciting moment. Sitting at my laptop computer. Again, it's not on my lap. I went into that earlier, so I don't want to sound like I'm repeating myself, even though I wouldn't be. If I went on to say now that the laptop isn't sitting on my lap, it would still remain true, and it wouldn't be a repetition, because when I was talking earlier about the fact that my laptop wasn't on my lap, I was referring to the fact that it wasn't on my lap at that particular moment. And if I said that again now, I wouldn't be referring to that particular moment, or I'd be referring to this moment, or I'd be pointing out that the laptop still isn't on my lap at this particular point in time. So it wouldn't be a repetition at all. It would just be a continuation and of the story. Because you know, so that's what some people, you know, they tell a story, they tell you about what they're doing now, but they never come back later to see how the story pans out and to tell you how it all ended. So I shouldn't apologise for repeating myself. I should say I told you earlier that my laptop wasn't on my lap. I've come back now to update you and let you know whether or not my laptop is still on my lap. Well, it's not. It's not on my lap again. It's not. It's a. Oh, I'm getting confused now. Anyway, the point is, my laptop still isn't on my lap. It hasn't been on my lap at any point in between. But I have been away from my laptop at one point. I was in the toilet for approximately 8 minutes. I did record some material in there, but it turned out to be a load of crap, so I deleted it. I didn't like something about the sound quality and the sound effects that were audible in the background either. But had the material been of sufficient quality, I would have retained it anyway. And I would have put in some apology, saying apologies for the sounds that you're hearing in the background, the plopping noises, which are probably rather disgusting to you, and you've probably been sitting there wondering what they were, and if I hadn't mentioned this, you wouldn't have been completely sure what they were, and you probably would have come up with some nice explanation for them. You probably would have said, oh, it's probably just some rain falling slowly outside the window of the lavatory. But anyway, none of this is relevant since I didn't use that segment. I deleted it because of the poor quality of the content. And also because Pippi the cat came in to drink out of the tap and got in the way and distracted me. Because that's what Pippi the cat does. She comes into the toilet and says, will you please switch on the tap? And this is in her own language, she says this. She says, will you please turn on the tap and then lift me up onto the sink, even though I've proved on past occasions that I'm able to jump onto the sink myself. I want you to lift me up onto the sink. And while you're doing it, I'm going to go, meow, 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 and make you think that I'm doing something to displease me, even though you're not. Just to keep you on your toes. And I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, you're sitting on the toilet. How would you be on your toes? Well, you can be on your toes on the toilet. It's rather uncomfortable, but you can be. You can put, from the shape of the toilet bowl, in fact, it's quite easy to be on your toes on the toilet, because you can put your feet behind your knees, further back than your knees, because there's space there because of the shape of the seat that you're on. So it's quite easy to be on your toes. You're just not putting all of your weight of your body on your toes because you're not standing up. But that's, well, maybe you could be, I suppose you could be crouched over the seat and not be resting your weight on the seat and rest a hole on your toes instead. But why would you do that other than to prove a point about being able to be on your toes on the toilet? Just because someone mentioned it while you're some imaginary listener mentioned it to you in your head while you're recounting a tale of letting the cat into the toilet to drink water out of the tap. And you can't be kowtowing to imaginary voices in your head like that. So I try to ignore the imaginary voices that I hear in my head all the time. I just go, you're not there. If you're not there, I can't hear you. Unless there's only one of you. Because if there's only one voice in my head, that's fine. Because there should be only one voice there. It's when the voice splits into multiple personalities. And you hear one voice saying, hello, I'm me. And then you hear the other voice saying, hello, I'm the other part of you. And then they start having a conversation. And they always leave you out of it, of course. Because you're just the host. Absolutely ridiculous. I always end up being just a host. I'm just a host of Into Your Head. I'm just a host of my brain. I'm just a host when there's visitors here who eat my food and drink my coffee and do other stuff. I'm forever the host, never the listener. Well, I am the listener when I listen to stuff, I suppose, and when I am hosted in other places other than here. So that's really an untruth. Now, which type of untruth it is, a lie or an error, remains to be seen. Well, maybe it won't be seen. It's not seen, I should say. It's not known to you. It's known to me, but I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to reveal everything to you. I have to keep something secret. I mean, I am a private person. I'm not going to tell you everything about myself. I'm not going to tell you, for example, what type of shoes I'm wearing at the moment. Not least because I'm not wearing any. I'm in my bare naked socks. I'm flying loose. I've allowed my toes to the almost complete freedom. Well, they are curtailed a little by the sock material, which I have to admit is holding them back, holding them in a little. But I think they've got enough flexibility for them to feel like they've got out of the house for a while I have my shoes off. I'm going to put my shoes on in a while, but that's mainly for the protection of my feet and my toes. Everything I do shoe-wise is in the best interest of my feet. It's nothing that I should feel guilty about, and if they don't agree with what I'm doing with it, then that's because they don't have a brain and they're not capable of agreeing or disagreeing with things. I suppose they could use my brain as a surrogate thinker. They could say, oh, he's got a brain. I think we'll connect up to the brain for a moment and use its thinking power. But if that was the case, they'd only be thinking my thoughts. They'd be thinking the same thoughts as me. Unless, of course, they decide to go with one of my other personalities who disagrees with me. I suppose that's a possibility. Bits of my body could start harnessing bits of my brain and turning against me. I suppose that's a worry. It's amazing that we manage to keep sane in this world where all our feet are trying to rebel against us.